Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow friends of Christ, there is a Disney song from the movie Toy Story that goes like this. You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. You got problems, I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We'll stick together, we'll see it through, because you got a friend in me. Do you know what a friendship like that is like? I'm sure you all do. I'm confident that we all have friends that will be there for us no matter what happens. And I'm sure we all have friends that we would even die for them if it meant to save them. That's the type of friendship that David and Jonathan had. They were literally best friends for life. And this morning we have an opportunity to look at that friendship and let us put their friendship into practice with our own friends. Love your friends as yourself. Be there for them and point them to the Lord. But we can't just jump into this great friendship between David and Jonathan without realizing what is all happening here. Saul, Jonathan's father, was king over Israel. Saul was handpicked by God himself. In the early years of his reign, Saul did everything well. He obeyed the Lord. He defended his people, and he rightly ruled over the Israelites. But in time, Saul drifted away from the Lord. He disobeyed God, and therefore the Lord rejected Saul as Israel's king. The Lord sent the prophet Samuel to Saul. The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one better than you. Saul understood that his kingdom would not pass down to his son, Jonathan. Now, this didn't happen right away. But during all of this time, Saul is constantly paranoid, and he's always wondering who this new king would be. In time, it became very obvious who this new king would be. It was David. And Saul knew David very well. David was first brought into Saul's service to play the harp for him in order to calm him down. And then later on, David would defeat the giant Goliath and save the Israelite army. Saul was so impressed by this that he made David a part of his military. And everything that Saul told David to do for his army, he did it successfully. And the people realized that. They loved David. They praised him. They even said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. When Saul heard that, he became jealous of David. He hated him. He realized that David would be the next king over Israel. But during all of this, David and Jonathan became great friends. We are told in Scripture, Jonathan became one in spirit with David. He made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. They were one in spirit. If one of them was weeping, the other would join in that sorrow. If one of them was rejoicing, the other would share in that joy. They were truly the best of friends, but their friendship would be tested in the ultimate way. Three times, Saul tried to take the life of David by throwing a spear at him. Saul even ordered some of his own men to assassinate David. And therefore, David fled for his life. He came to Jonathan and he told them how his father wanted to kill him. But Jonathan just couldn't bring himself to believe it. But then David said to him, "Your father knows very well that I have found favor in your eyes." And he has said to himself, "Jonathan must not know this or he will be grieved. Yet as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, there is only a step between me and death." David's confidence was beginning to crumble, for he thought he was going to die. But thankfully, he had Jonathan by his side. Jonathan loved his friend David as himself, and he was there for him. Jonathan assured David that he would speak to his father, that he would defend David and speak well of him. And here we see the true love that existed between Jonathan and David. After Jonathan talked to his father about David, Saul even tried to kill his own son. That's how much Saul hated David. And now imagine if you were David. Imagine if you were Jonathan. What would you do? Jonathan may have been tempted to forget about his friendship with David just so that he could save his own skin and that he could be the next king over Israel. But that's not what Jonathan did. He loved David as himself. He told David to flee. And while David was fleeing away from Saul for years, Jonathan came to him one more time, and he comforted him by saying, "Don't be afraid. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you." Jonathan looked forward to the day that David would be king, and he looked forward to the day that he would be second in command with his friend. Unfortunately, that day didn't happen. Before David became king, Jonathan was killed in battle. When David heard that, he said, "I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful." David loved Jonathan until the day he died. But his love for Jonathan didn't end there. Jonathan made David promise an oath. He said, "Do not ever cut off your kindness from my family." And David kept that promise. When he was king, he brought one of Jonathan's descendants into his own palace, and he lived there. The friendship between David and Jonathan was a great blessing from God. And it's a blessing that God has given to each and every one of us. I'm confident that we all have friends that we are one in spirit with. And in that friendship, there are times when there is joy, where we rejoice, we laugh, and we smile with our friends. But I'm also sure that there are times of sorrow, when our friend is falling apart just like David was. In those times, let us remember Christ's love that moves us to love our friends as ourselves. And one way we can love our friends as ourselves is by being there for them. We can do what Jonathan did for David. We can assure our friends that we love them and that we will defend them and speak well of them. We can do what Job's friends did, simply by sitting there next to them and listening to them. We can do what the congregations did for the Apostle Paul, by praying for our friends. And we can do what Jesus did for his friend, Peter. When Peter was drowning, Jesus stretched out his hand and saved him. And therefore, we can be there for our friends, and who knows, we may save them from physical harm. That is how we love our friends as ourselves. But there is another way that we can love our friends as ourselves. It is truly an act of love to suffer with, to comfort and to encourage and help our friends. But there is a greater act of love. The greatest act of love that we can do for our friends is to point them to the Lord. That's exactly what Jonathan did for his friend. Six times, Jonathan brought up the name of the Lord to David. This is the Lord who is compassionate and gracious. This is the Lord that when he makes a promise, he keeps it. And so, by pointing David to the Lord, Jonathan was pointing David to the God who promised that he would make David king and that he would protect him. And the Lord delivered on that promise. During all of those years when David was fleeing from Saul, the Lord protected him. And in time, the Lord made David king over Israel, and he greatly blessed David's kingdom. It was an act of love for Jonathan to point his friend to the Lord and to show him that God would be the one who would help him. And it is certainly true that God helps us in our troubles. It is certainly true that God helps our friends with their troubles. But notice that God has blessed us with friends that we too can comfort and love. But why is it that there are so many times when we don't point our friends to the Lord? Why do we do that? Why do we not automatically and always point our friends to the Lord and to the gospel, which will truly help them? Maybe we don't point our friends to the Lord because we just don't see the need to do it. The problem that our friend is facing is very minor, and therefore, we really don't have to bring up the Lord, even though that is exactly what they need to hear. Maybe we don't point our friends to the Lord because we're afraid. We're afraid that if we bring up the Lord to them, they'll mock us, they'll hate us, or they might even reject us, and therefore we lose a friendship. Maybe we don't always point our friends to the Lord because they have harmed us. They have betrayed our trust. And therefore, we don't forgive them just as in Christ God has forgiven us, because we want them to suffer. We want them to experience the pain that we have gone through. When we do this, don't we understand what we are doing? Jesus commanded us to love one another. And that by loving one another, we show ourselves to be his disciples. But if we don't love our friends as ourselves, and yet still claim to be Jesus' disciples, we're hypocrites. And that's sinful for us to do. We have not truly loved our friends as ourselves. But thankfully, we have a friend who loves us as himself. And that's Jesus. We do not deserve to be friends with Christ, but Jesus said, "I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." We are friends with Jesus because everything that he received from his Father, he has revealed to us. He pointed us to the Lord. And that's exactly what Jesus did throughout his ministry. He pointed everyone to the Lord, no matter what they were going through. And that wasn't always easy for him. Jesus spoke the truth in love to his own hometown, and they wanted to kill him. Jesus spoke the truth in love to his own people, the Jews, and they did kill him. He even spoke the truth in love to one of his friends, Judas, who betrayed him. But even though Jesus knew that he would be rejected and hated and mocked for his message, he still pointed everyone to the Lord. And he also loved his friends in another way. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus, our friend, did. He laid down his life for us. And since Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose to life for our justification, we now have a friendship with the Lord. And in this friendship, the Lord, who keeps every promise he makes, has promised to us, I will make a new covenant with them. I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. May God's forgiveness, his love, and his grace move us to love our friends as ourselves by pointing them to the Lord. May his forgiveness move us to point our friends to the Lord no matter what they are going through, because that is what they need to hear. May his love make us bold and confident to speak the truth in love, even if we will be rejected, hated, and mocked. For Jesus has promised that even if the world rejects us, he will never reject us because we are his friends. What a friend we have in Jesus. And as our friend, he loves us as himself, for he is there with us and he always points us to the Lord. And as our friend, he has blessed us with friends who do the same thing for us. Therefore, let us return that love in our friendship with one another. Be there for your friends. Assure them that you love them and care for them. And love your friends by pointing them to the Lord, assuring them that the Lord loves them and that the Lord will take care of them. By doing this, we show ourselves to be Jesus' disciples. And therefore, we can all rejoice in the friendship that we have in Christ. And that friendship with Christ will never end. For he is our best friend who loves us as himself. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, we'll guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which we will find on page 41 in front of our hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.